What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hello everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Gaming in the Wild, a video games podcast about games from the artistic, creative side of the tracks, from indie to AAA. My name's John, I'm your host. I am out in a snowy Reykjavik, Iceland. After a little slightly warm above zero snap, it went below zero, and now the rain has turned to snow, and it's falling outside of my window as we speak, so the town has a hushed feeling to it. I'm quite enjoying, actually. And it's been a busy couple of weeks of games and podcast making and video making, writing. It's been a really busy time leading up to Christmas. I've got a lot that I'm trying to get out of my hair before the holiday season kicks in. And I've been having a really good time doing a bit of Games of the Year catch-up after my conversations with Brad and with Ben over the last couple of weeks. Both of them put a bunch of games on my radar. And I had a list of my own as well, games that I wanted to play. And the new releases are still coming as well. So I have played Despelote. I just finished it right before recording. I've played Dispatch and finished that one too. I've made a start on Consume Me. I have downloaded a couple of Brad recommendations, including Stories from Sol. And so it's all go, really. I think that my Games of the Year list, it felt like incomplete to me before. You know, the top five is clear, and the number six is kind of clear as well, but there were a few loose links towards the bottom, and as I'm playing things like Despelote, Skate Story, Consume Me, and Dispatch, which you'll hear about in a bit, I feel like it's really starting to come together. So this late year sprint that I'm doing this year feels a little different to past years. I think in past years I've had more of an idea by now, and I've maybe been like just poking at one or shuffling the bottom couple. But I feel like in this packed year of games, for some reason, the bottom half of my Games of the Year top 10 has been a work in progress, and it's starting to come together. And so in the name of Games of the Year preparation and, you know, catch up and go to homework and all of that, I'm going to squeeze in a couple of reviews today. I had scheduled an episode with friend of the show, Kieran Daly, but he just moved house and we were set to record an episode. We even hopped onto a video call all ready to record, and he realized that his mic stand was basically broken, so it just wasn't sounding right. The furniture's still getting into place. It was very echoey. The sound wasn't really happening. And so we decided to put a little pin in that. Hopefully it will work out. And I will get Kieran back on because I always look forward to talking with Kieran about Games of the Year. And not least this year, because he and I have been playing a lot of Ark Raiders together. And so I think it would be really fun for us to have an end of the year check-in. I know that Kieran has been playing, maybe because he knows he's going to be on Gaming in the Wild. He's been trying to give attention to new games in a way that he might not have otherwise. I know that he played a bit of Promised Mascot Agency, Citizen Sleeper 2. Claire Obscure, which he bounced on, funnily enough. So I think it would be a really interesting Games of the Year conversation, and I will try and get Kieran back in. But this week's episode is instead a little bit of go-to catch-up. I'm going to paste in the audio from two videos that I made last week. One of them is a review of Skate Story. One of them is a review of Dispatch. And so those two will be the featured games of the episode. But we do also have a bit of Games of the Year business to talk about. As I am recording this, it is Sunday the 14th of December, and the Gaming in the Wild audience patron Games of the Year vote is still running. If you are a patron of Gaming in the Wild, then head over to Patreon, scroll down a couple of posts, and you will see a link to the Games of the Year poll. We've had 35 votes so far. It's very competitive. I think we do have a winner. You might have a couple of names in your mind about what that winner might be, but we do not have a set 10 for sure. That could all change with just every extra vote that comes in is basically shaking up the table to a really large degree. So if you're a patron, then pop over to Patreon. You can get your votes in before the 17th of December, and then I will count up the votes with some help from Sokka, the spreadsheet wizard. Thank you, Sokka. And then I'm going to have Blinkoom on to read out the results and to talk about the games and to find out what Blinkoom's Games of the Year are as well, because Steve, aka Blinkoom, friend of the show, is an awesome resource, really, for good game recommendations. Steve has great taste and puts a lot of attention into new indie games that are coming out, and so I would hope to learn about a couple from Steve, and I'd just be curious to hear Steve's take on all of the games of the year as well. So loads going on, but if you are a patron, then vote in the poll. If you're not a patron, then I have good news for you, actually, because Gaming in the Wild passed 1 million views a couple of weeks ago, including the podcast and the YouTube channel, and I was trying to think of a way to celebrate, so I reached out to some developers that I've spoken to over the years, including the developers of Ultros, 1,000 Times Resist, and Citizen Sleeper, Garrett, Amy, and Martin, and they all gave me some codes to give away to new patrons and upgrading patrons to celebrate that big landmark. So if you're an existing patron, if you go up any tier, I will get a notification in Patreon and I'll be happy to send you a code. If you are a listener who is not a patron and you would like a code for 1,000 Times Resist, Ultros, Citizen Sleeper, or In Other Waters, you can sign up at any tier. I will DM you, tell me which code you want, and we'll sort it out. It's patreon.com/gamingintheWild if you would like to sign up. And it would mean that you would get to vote in the Games of the Year poll if you sign up before the 17th of December, or rather, the end of the 17th of December. Wow, my voice is getting gritty and grimy. I've done a couple of videos and a couple of long podcasts lately, and I'm losing my voice a little. In these reviews that are coming up, you might hear a little change of voice because I recorded them on different days. But I really hope that you enjoy them. I think that Skate Story is a late game release that has really blown me away, actually. And Dispatch was, you know, a really interesting game. Not something that I was expecting to fall in love with quite like I did. I have a couple of notes about that one as well. So I hope that you enjoy these reviews. And here we go. Skate Story is a weird game. It smashes together religious imagery with brutalist architecture, playful philosophy, and shimmering surrealism. It imagines a digital underworld lit by seven oppressive moons, and it puts you in the body of a nameless, mirrored skater, rocketing, crunching, and grinding your way through it all. It came out at a difficult time of year when everyone is trying to cram games like Absolum and Consume Me and Sektori for their Games of the Year lists, but it's a game that deserves to cut through the noise even at this busy time of the year. And in this review, I will tell you why it deserves to claim a place of its own on the video game pantheon of 2025. Skate Story is an unconventional skating game, and that's because the story part of its title plays an equal role in what this game is, as well as the crunchy, weighty, visceral skating, about which I'll have a lot more to say in this review. It's what we're skating through that makes the game so fascinating, so let's start with the story side of Skate Story. At the start of the game, a geometric, shimmering glass man is consigned to the bowels of hell. It's a grim place with a red sky and a stretch of vast, spiked concrete, and nothing much to do, but the mirrored man who is no known simply as The Skater, refuses to take his punishment lying down, not least because of the permanent supermoon which beams brightly across the torrid hellscape, tormenting its denizens by stopping them from getting any sleep at all. Of course, there's only one solution to this problem, so our mirrored protagonist signs a deal with the devil. If he can skate through all seven layers of hell and eat the high, terrible moon in each of them, then he'll win back his immortal soul. It's a fun setup delivered with a huge amount of style. There are cinematic cutscenes with a gnarly film grain texture, an arterial colour palette, and everything from the fonts to the UI to the art style are absolutely on point here. It feels like an experimental film or a work of art. So the story sections in this game are something that I really looked forward to. But with the setup complete, the skating can begin, and it feels amazing as soon as the wheels hit the asphalt. And there are a few reasons why the skating is quite so good in this game. I think the sound actually plays a big role. It's the sound of the wheels grinding over the ground. It's really evocative, and we get the scrape and the scream and the click of the board. And it really helps that the skating itself feels so weighty and visceral. I don't know quite how they pulled it off, but the physics feel great. When you gain speed by pushing yourself forward along the ground and you do a kickflip or a trick or a grind, you really feel like you're fighting gravity to get off the ground for a glorious moment before crashing back down to earth. And I think the animation is also a big factor. Our mirrored skater is a low-poly geometric model, but the animation is perfect. He'll steady himself on the board, he'll extend his arms for tricks, and he'll convincingly fight for balance after a big jump or a long fall, and when he wipes out, the ragdoll and then smash is super painful. And the camera is graceful and low-slung, and it really helps to capture that all-important sense of free-flowing motion that makes skating in video games so fun to do. And there are a few types of skating to do in this game. I really enjoyed the challenge sequences where you go fast towards a portal, you have to trick over whatever obstacles are in your way, and then you will warp into the next portal at high speed and be faced by a new set of challenges. These sequences are wonderful, with fantastic wavy music and a sense of propulsive forward motion. And each one will take you to a new open area where you get to explore a little bit. These mini areas were really fun to look around. You get to trick over mini challenges to collect souls. You get to talk to really interesting NPCs and pick up quests. There is a shop where you can upgrade your board, and then you can carry out some kind of main mission to progress the story. So you get a little bit of freedom to roam around and test your tricks and learn how to build up combos and all of that kind of thing. And I think that these breather moments where you get to just express yourself are really important for the game. And when you've finished exploring the area and done all the little quests that are in your way, it's time to collect a moon. And each moon involves a skate-related boss fight of a sort. You might have to chase a moon down through a difficult piece of landscape, or pound your board onto a moon's aura until its energy is gone, or grab chains to try and pull it out of the sky. They're simple fights, but they feel climactic, they have great music, and they offer some really welcome gameplay variety, and really escalate in scale as you go further down into hell. This being a skate game, your moveset will grow as you progress. You start out with the humble ollie, that simple move that we've seen teenagers failing at hour upon hour out in the street, but you'll soon be kick-flipping, power-sliding, and nollying your way through hell. Each new trick is described in text as you learn it, which makes the game feel like a lovingly educated take on skating itself. And maybe that's why the skating shines quite so much in Skate Story. It feels like there's a real understanding here and a real love of skating in this game that feels really compelling and contagious. I think this love of skating is also found in the board customization with the wheels, trucks, stickers, and board designs. This is what you buy with the souls that you pick up along the way, and it offered suitable motivation for tricking and exploring out in the world. I ran with the ghost board for the whole game, which was a really cool nod to the game Sludge Life, which you should check out if you haven't. So all in all, I think the skating in this game is a pretty intoxicating package. My only real critique of it is that if you hit an edge without jumping, you will lose energy, which is fair enough. But when you're moving at speed, edges sometimes aren't very visually distinct, and I'd say about half of my wipeouts were because I just didn't notice a curb coming up. And I'm not saying that everything should be splashed in yellow paint. I don't know what the solution is, but in tune with the ingenuity of this game's overall design, I feel sure that a solution could have been found without interrupting the aesthetic. But that really is my only real qualm with the skating in this game. Other than that, it is nigh on perfect. As for the story, I really don't want to spoil it for you, but I will say that you'll tangle with musing philosophers who'll analyze your motivations for this adventure. You'll witness skeletal lost souls lamenting lost moments from their lives. You'll meet a cast of bizarre little weirdos, from a cheeky frog to your spirit rabbit friend who guides you through the game, to a bird with writer's block you have to talk into helping you out. There are jealous traffic cones that will send you on a rampage to kill other traffic cones that have irritated them. It's all pretty funny and irreverent, and it's made made surreal by the architecture of hell too, with placards, plinths and signage, poetic and biblical verses etched into giant walls, rules, regulations and pronouncements on towering obelisks. This shimmering vision of hell in this game is a character in itself, and there's a sense of anti-establishment mischief in many of the beings that you meet along the way. And that seems to vibe with what little I know of graffiti and skate culture. There is an anti-establishment feeling running through the game that I really enjoyed. So for me, Skate Story is a very easy game to recommend. If you like fluid motion in games, then it really is a must. It has beautiful environments to skate through, and it just feels wonderful. You really do get a knack for the tricking, for the skating, for the turning and stopping, and it's addictive and fun. There are those dreamy tunnel sequences where you have to trick through strange environments, really put those tricks and combos to work. It's wonderful as a skating game, but it's also wonderful as a Lynchian mashup of religion, regret, rebellion, and street culture. There's really not much else like it in that sense. So Skate Story is a late year release that I hope works its way into people's Game of the Year considerations, because it certainly has worked its way into mine. That's Skate Story. And next, let's have a little review of Dispatch. As I've been diligently doing my Games of the Year homework, I finally got around to playing Dispatch, and wow, it really blew me away. I love it when games crash headfirst into other mediums, and we get a kind of mutant amalgam that feels like something fresh and new for games. It's what made Immortality, the cinematic masterpiece, my Game of the Year in 2022. It was like art house cinema that you get to play on your screen, and it really was like nothing that I've ever played before. And that's a feeling that I got playing Dispatch too, in a very different way, of course. It's an episodic visual novel that's taken the world by storm. It's sold 2 million units in 2 months, and it has a Metacritic 89, making it one of the highest rated games of the year. Visual novels don't usually trouble the mainstream to that degree, but this one really has, and it's become an instant classic in the genre, and might just be one of the best visual novels ever made. So let's start at the start. Dispatch has got a fascinating development story. It's the first project of Ad Hoc, a studio started by four former Telltale, Night School, and Ubisoft developers. It started off as a live-action project. There is no information about whether that means a TV show or a live-action game with actors, but either way, production was abruptly cancelled when the pandemic hit, when filming was illegal, basically. But the project was revived some years later, this time as an animated, voice-acted video game project, and I'm really glad that it was, for one. It took a few years to make, and then it was released like a serial, with two episodes dropping at a time over the course of a month, and much like I do with TV shows, I waited until the end, until they were all out, and then binged them over the course of a week. I really can't stand waiting for a new episode on the edge of my seat. I think streaming culture has ruined me that way. But I was blown away by the game's overall quality, the bright, fresh art, the amazing voice acting, and I found it funny, gripping, and thrilling. The script is whip-sharp, and it's a near-perfect synthesis of animated TV show and game. I do have a few caveats on the formula that I'll get to at the end, but first of all, let's talk about what it's like to play Dispatch.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics. CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Thank you. The game begins with a cool action sequence in which you play the mechanized superhero, Mecha Man, who is basically like a walking space marine mech suit. But when the suit is destroyed by arch-villain The Shroud, you just become a guy called Robert. And when you're at your most down and out, you're recruited by the beautiful Supergirl-esque blonde Blazer to start working as a dispatcher at a superhero dispatch agency. The agency, it turns out, is like a private security company and response team who reply to calls that are phoned in by clients. Everything from a cat in a tree to a tower block fire to a supervillain on the rampage. But it turns out that the heroes at the agency aren't exactly the best and the brightest. They're like a very messed up X-Man family without the wholesome Professor X setting the vibe. And it's a bit more like a superhero Lord of the Flies. And on top of all that, you're put in charge of the Z-Team, a group of former villains who are trying and failing to make a fresh start. You will have to wrangle them and you will get to know them all. And it's a brilliant cast of misfits that you're dealing with, from Sonar, a wisecracking stoner bat guy, to Coop, a masked sinister knife-throwing assassin who can fly, to Flambe, a literally combustible pyrotechnician, and Invisigal, who can turn invisible, but only as long as she can hold her breath. I was also a big fan of Golem, who's like a mellow The Thing. He's like a walking cliffside who's often found moping outside of meeting rooms that he can't fit through the door of. And it's your job to try and wrangle these big personalities and these dysfunctional beings and to make the team work. This unfolds in two types of gameplay. Each chapter has a dispatch section. This is the gameplay portion of the game. Sitting at his desk and looking through Robert's eyes, you see a map of the city on his monitor. You take calls and you try and match the right hero to the job. For example, a charismatic hero for a speaking engagement, or a combat brute to take down a violent gang. And how well you choose the hero affects the outcome, sometimes with comedic effect if you do it badly, and it's down to you to intuit which hero is best. They sometimes have twists, so you might send a charismatic person who ends up in a brawl and you might fail that mission. And you can sometimes send two or three heroes, but that leaves you short-handed if another call should come in, so there's some strategy to it as well. Successes means that you can power up the various disciplines of your heroes to make them more powerful. You can either specialize them or generalize them, almost like a deck builder. And I think my favorite thing about this is that the heroes wisecrack and chat and bicker as you dispatch them. Their voices crackle over the radio, and it made these sections really enjoyable that they all have this cool interplay going on as you try and do your work. There are also hacking sections where you have to do a fairly dry puzzle-based minigame to try and open a door or to turn on a security camera. The less said about those, the better, honestly. But generally, I really enjoyed the dispatching sections. It was a good way to get to know my team. It illustrates the dynamics that you're going to have to work with, and it's a pretty good little gameplay section that keeps things ticking over nicely. Then there are the visual novel sections, which are beautifully directed scenes where the characters will chat, fight, flirt, joke around in the office, go out for a drink, and these are packed with one-liners and they're never boring. The dialogue is snappy and fun, the relationships are really good to get to know, and there are dialogue choices with notifications like Invisigal will remember that, which pops up on the screen, letting you know that something consequential just happened, although you're not exactly sure what the consequences are, which I will return to later. There are also QTEs that you can turn on or off based on whether you like them. It was off for me, but people who have played said they add something to the action sequences, and it's basically like watching an interactive Netflix show, and a really good one at that. There are cold opens and cliffhangers, sight gags and risque jokes, crazy takes on office politics, and some surprisingly human stories woven in here too. The various characters are all dealing with ideas around identity, guilt, redemption, and responsibility, so you really will get some favourites and feel like you're taking on a project. And all in all, the pacing and the framing are perfect throughout, and it's just entirely entertaining. The whole thing really transports you into this world. I really tuned out of the real world and just enjoyed what I was seeing on my screen. But that brings us to the few downsides that I have to talk about when it comes to dispatch. I've already mentioned the lackluster hacking minigame, which I could have lived without, to be honest. It's just busy work and too simplistic to be fun. But the big one for me is cause and effect. Sometimes in conversation, you will be told that something you've said will be remembered by one person or the group, and there are apparently some quite divergent outcomes in this game based on those choices, but I had no idea what I'd done to influence anything during my playthrough, which meant I felt more like a passenger than an active participant at times. It made me think of games that have handled this better. My personal two favourites are Detroit Become Human, which literally shows you a flowchart at the end of each chapter, so you're very clear on what decisions you took that precipitated the events you're seeing on screen. I also think about Gerda, A Flame in Winter, a lesser-known choice-based game by Dontnod set in Nazi-occupied Denmark. It handles choice beautifully. Various people and factions have affinity meters, so you can be very intentional about who you trust, who you humour, who you try and reel in, and who you try and play, and it really matters as the story progresses. Dispatch has none of that, really. You do get a little chart at the end of each chapter that tells you how many other people chose the path that you took. Mine varied from, you know, 90% down to 10%, so I made some popular choices and some really unpopular ones, but I'm really none the wiser about how what I did mattered, apart from in a very vague sense. I guess you're supposed to intuit it, but honestly it came as a surprise to me to hear after credits that there are different endings at all. So I wish the game had done a better job of making me feel directly involved and making my decisions feel impactful in what I was seeing on the screen. I will say for the record, this is the first Telltale type game I've played, so do let me know in the comments if there's a Telltale game that handles it better that I should try, because I do wonder if they've handled it differently or handled it better before. But those quibbles aside, I think this is probably an 8.5 or a 9 out of 10 for me personally. I really, really enjoyed it. I really looked forward to my Dispatch episode at the end of a long day, and I think it's probably my favourite visual novel ever. High praise indeed. You can check it out on PlayStation 5 and Steam. That's Dispatch. So there we have it, that's our episode. I hope that you enjoyed that. A little bit of Skate Story, a little bit of Dispatch, and a lot of goatee homework, and I still have some more to do. I'm still planning to play Consume Me. I'm just about to finish Despelote as well. And I think it might shake my list up a little bit, you know. You know, the lower reaches of my list have a few loose links there, maybe. So there's a little bit of shuffling going on. I'm really enjoying the process. My girlfriend's away in the States for a couple of weeks, so I've got plenty of time to do a little bit of goatee catch-up. And make a lot of content for you, like this podcast and the various videos that have gone up on the YouTube this week. There is a video version of that Dispatch review. There is a video version of that Skate Story review. So if you'd like to see them in action, like you can listen to the review whilst watching footage from the game, or you can just pop over there and give it a like. That would be really helpful for me. Getting my YouTube thing going. But either way, I hope that you enjoyed the episode. Next week will, all being well, be the results of the patron poll, which I'm very, very excited about. I think we do have a winner at this point, but everything is to fight for in the lower 10. So you can still vote until the 16th. If you're listening to this before the 16th, head over to Patreon and you can find that link in the feed. And speaking of Patreon, a big special thanks to the boss tier patrons, Shy Guy, King Champ, Keris, Susanna Maria, Nate, and brand new boss tier patron, Sid B. Thank you so much to everyone who is on the boss tier, and thank you very much to everyone who's on every tier. And if you happen to not be on any tier at all, and you're still here at the end of the podcast, then pop over to Patreon, sign up for a dollar. You can get a free game code for Ultros, 1000 Times Resist, Citizen Sleeper, and In Other Waters, the fantastic first game by Gareth Damian Martin. All of that, and access to 20 bonus episodes, and an invite to the Patreon Discord. So that's it for this week. Until the next one, take care of yourselves and each other, and bye-bye for now.